The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
There are many things we ought to be thankful for, as we learn in Psalm 100. In the first half of this sermon, we began to look at some of those things, including the fact that we are God's children and will eventually be with Him for eternity. But in the latter part of this psalm, we are instructed to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. This is a clear reference to the place of public worship, where God has promised to grant His greatest blessings in this life. Join us as we conclude our look today at how thankful we ought to be for the Church of the Living God.
The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to His Son to save and take her home above. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay. She was His bride before she knew she had a husband dear, and when for her His choice was made, it caused her to
God for the solemnity of the church. The Lord provided the church as a place to get away from the world. He didn't intend for us to drag the world in after us. You know, I've heard one man say one time, we need to get the world into the church. Beloved, we don't need the world in the church. We need God's children out of the world in the church, but we need to keep the world out of the church. Someone said, it seemed like today the church is getting more worldly and the world is getting more churchy. And that's kind of what it looks like, right? Look at it. He said, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Okay? A quiet habitation. Now that idea of quiet there doesn't mean it's nobody says anything. Doesn't mean the little children don't cry. Doesn't mean that you got to run out every time they do. Beloved, I've said this before, that You know, if I ever get to the point where I can't preach louder than a baby cries, then I need to turn in my preaching credentials, right? Now, I understand we have a cry room, and I realize there are times that they have to be taken out. I'm not saying that's not appropriate, but I'm just saying that the idea of quiet doesn't mean nobody talks. The idea of quiet means it's safe. It's safe. It's a place of safety, you see. You know, one of the reasons we try to be just as simple as the first century church was is because in the first century church, I mean, listen, things can happen. Things can still happen in the church context. I get it. But it's hard for some youth pastor or youth director to take the youth group over there and some bad act occur, as I've seen and had to prosecute situations like that before. It's hard for that to happen when we're all worshiping together, you see. I'll tell you something else that we're safe from. We don't have Sunday schools where people divide up into different classes and maybe that Sunday school teacher gets off on some doctrine and ends up leading a class away a little bit. Beloved, I know what's being preached here because I'm here. And you know what everybody's hearing. You know what your children are being taught. You know what is being taught because you hear it and we're here together. It's safe. It's safe for us to be here like this, you see. And it's safe because I'll tell you, beloved, if I ever feel encouraged and inspired to do better, it's when I'm here with you. You know, it's when I'm off by myself that I'm tempted to do something I shouldn't do. But when I'm here together, you encourage me. You encourage me. You know, you encourage me during the week because one of the reasons we need to be here regularly is because of that encouragement. Well, you know, the Lord said do it. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and the more often as you see the day approaching. Certainly we ought to do it just because God said to do it, but there's a reason God said to do it. He knew we needed it. I need to be refilled. I need to be reinvigorated on Sunday so I can face the world on Monday, you see. I'm telling you, beloved, the world is not my friend. It is not your friend. The world, we got three enemies in this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're all out to get you, and I need the encouragement and the safety of God's people gathered together to encourage me, because you know, I got to face you again next week. I got to face you again. That's a struggle, by the way, for a preacher, I'll tell you. You don't, you know, just ask my wife. She knows my struggles. She knows where I fall short. She knows the things I think and say. She doesn't know all the things I think. Praise God. Glad nobody does. But beloved, it's a struggle because I know how big a sinner I am, but I'm encouraged during the week knowing I get to be with you again next Sunday. You know, I've said this before. I'll just share it because I know I've shared it before, but I can never get away from it when I think about the safety of God's church. You know, when I was growing up, the big show every day on TV, it was in the afternoon, as I recall, was Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone, you know. Yeah. You know, and so Daniel Boone, you know, at least once a week seemed like the theme of that episode was that the Indians were on the uprise and they were attacking everybody. And the word would go out for all the farmers and the outlying settlers to come into the fort for safety. And there was always one old stubborn farmer. He said, I got to get my crops in. I'm going to stay out here. They can't, you know. So, and what would happen? They'd get in trouble, and old Daniel Boone would have to slip through the woods, and he'd have to, you know, have to go quietly here and go around the Indians there and finally get that farmer and his family and bring them into the fort. Well, as I've said before, Daniel Boone could do that, but you're not Daniel Boone, and I'm not Daniel Boone, okay? We need to be in the fort. We need to be in the safety of the fort. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Now look at this, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Remember what Jesus said about the church? He said, upon this rock, and that rock was not Peter, that rock was the revelation from God to man that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Beloved, the church will stand. Look at the stability of the church here. It's a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Now, the nature of a tabernacle was to be taken down and moved around, okay? But this tabernacle is this, and I believe this is foreshadowing what the church would be, is a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, we read, "And to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Beloved, if the Lord is going to be glorified in the church throughout all ages, you can be sure the church will stand throughout all ages. Now, that doesn't mean Zion Church will stand. That doesn't mean that Bethlehem Church will necessarily stand. It's not inevitable that we will be here. We have to be faithful. We need to be constantly seeking to stand on the truths of God's Word and do it the way He said to do it. But beloved, overall, when He comes back, the questions asked over in Luke, when the Lord returns, shall He find faith upon the earth? And I believe the answer to that is He will find it in His church, you see. Throughout history, many have been dissatisfied with the way the church works, with the way the Lord set it up, and they've tried to change it. They'd like to, notice it said, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. You see, there are those that would like to take the stakes up and remove them. There are those that would like to break the cords. But, beloved, that's never worked. Just look at the religious world today, beloved. Look at all the things that we see out there. Think about all the churches that you know of that have arisen. There was a church up in, I think, Seattle, Washington, Mars Hill. Man, it was the rage, all the rage at one time. Their pastor was a man named Mark Driscoll, and he just, you know, it just, man, it grew. He was reformed and mostly in his thinking. He kind of believed in some of the doctrines of grace, but next thing you know, it had crashed. You know why? Because it wasn't raised up on the principles that God set forth. You know, the whole reason we're called Primitive Baptists. Primitive doesn't mean that we're somehow backward or something like that. It just means original. Primitive means original. We try to go back to the first things. Beloved, the more we can perform, the more we can conduct our services like they did it in the first century, the more that we'll be pleasing to the Lord. And that's what we do, is it not? We don't have a whole bunch of things added to the church. Like the world, you would see all these choirs and choruses and bands and all kinds of things out there that are added to it. But beloved, here at this church, we just preach and we pray and we sing. And that's all that God has given to us in His Word. You know, it's pretty simple, isn't it, when it comes right down to it. The other has never worked, okay? Verse 21, but there, that is in Zion, today the church, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. Notice what he's saying here. I know that the church is made up of people. I understand that. I'm thankful to be your pastor, your leader, so to speak. But beloved, the church itself is a place of broad rivers and streams, this place that we can drink of the living water of God's Word. We can learn and we can grow and we can be edified therein. But there's no galley with oars going here. You know what that means? It's not propelled by men. It's not propelled. It's not a rowing ship, beloved. In the day of Pentecost, if you remember, in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus told them, "You tarry here at Jerusalem till the promise of the Father comes." That promise was the Holy Spirit that was coming, not in the way of being borning them again. They were already born again by the Spirit, but in a special way to guide the church. Beloved, the Holy Spirit guides the church today. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the captain of the old ship of Zion, but it's the Holy Spirit and God Himself that propels it through this life. I have no right to change the direction of the church to go in a way that's contrary to what God says. He said, no galley with oars, and by the way, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. You know, I know that it can even happen here, but beloved, we need to guard against it. But it can happen here. It can happen in other churches where you have the big eyes and the little U's. Okay? Suddenly somebody gets lifted up with pride. Well, I give more to the church. I do this. I work more for the church. I have a higher position in the church. Beloved, there is no gallant ship passing through the church of God. We are all on the same level. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know, that is one built-in safeguard that we do have in our church. It's that we understand, or we should understand, just how sin-cursed we are. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you had the best week of your life in serving the Lord. I hope you've done everything just almost perfect this week. But even if you do, you are so far short from the standard of Christ that you have nothing to boast about. I have nothing to boast about. I know I didn't have my best week, but even when I do, beloved, I have nothing to boast about, you see. No gallant ship shall pass thereby. You see, as we look upon Zion, think about this too. Think about what we've just described. Look with me back over in Psalm 48. Look at the beauty of the old church. Look at the beauty of Zion. He says in chapter 48 and verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Beloved, this is a place of safety, and it is beautiful. See, when we look upon the old church, when we look upon Zion, we see the beauty of it. And it's not from the outside, it's from the inside. And it's not by the way we propel it, it's by the way God propels it through His Word and by the guiding of His Holy Spirit, you see. As a matter of fact, there's something even more special about this place. And I always am amazed and almost brought to tears when I think about it. And going back to Isaiah 33, notice in verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, He will save us. You know, one of the things about the Lord being our judge, it can be scary because He does judge sin. But the beauty of those who are His children is that He has judged our sins in the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He will save us. And now look at verse 23 as we kind of bring this to a close. I want you to notice, he says, thy tacklings are loose. Now remember, we have to figure out the context, right? What's he talking about? Who is he talking to when he says, thy tacklings are loosed? Who is the thy? Well, if you go back to the very beginning of this chapter, you'll see that he's talking about those, he's not talking about the church here, he's talking about those who have spoiled the church, those who are enemies of the church. Look at verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. You see, doesn't that describe the way the world is with us? You know, they spoil us, but we're not permitted to go back and take vengeance on them and spoil them. They deal treacherously with us, but it's not, we don't have the freedom and the liberty to go out and deal treacherously with them. He said, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, thou shalt deal treacherously with thee. And so the point is that in verse 23, he's not talking to the church anymore. He's going back and talking to those who are the enemies of the church. So listen to what he says about them. And he's describing them, as it were, as ships, warships out there. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. Now notice what he said in the beginning. He says, woe to you who spoil. And that's the idea of an army coming in and winning a battle and just, you know, reaping all the spoils of that war. And so here's some people that are spoiling God's children. They are out there attacking God's children. They're attacking His church. They're running down His church, okay? But he said here in the church, when we see the church in the right way, we understand that from the perspective of being in God's church, their tacklings are loose. Their ships are messed up. The tacklings, the things that hold it together, are loosed. And he said they could not well strengthen their mast. Even the mast of their ship is falling down. They could not spread the sail. They can't even get their sails out anymore. When it comes to the church, beloved, the church will stand. The church is the most powerful thing in this world. The church is the place where God has chosen to put his favor. And in God's mind and purpose, the church is above all other things in this world. It's above the presidency of the United States. It's above the kingship of England. And look at this. I love this. Do you feel like the world is just constantly assaulting you? I do. Do you feel like that the devil is like a hound on your heels? Do you struggle with your own flesh? That other enemy that's within us? You know, it's bad enough that the world and the devil are against us, but my flesh is against me. My flesh cooperates with the world and the devil. My flesh is wanting to do what the devil is tempting me to do. Do you feel like it's a constant battle and you feel like you're just barely coming up for air and you're just losing? Listen, one of the beauties of this church, one of the reasons we look upon Zion and we walk about Zion, is it will help us see the truth. Listen, the tacklings of this world, the ships of this world, they are broken. They can't even spread the sail. And then look, then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. It's hard for me to talk about that without choking up. Because, beloved, I see myself as lame all the time. If you watch those National Geographic channels and you see those great herds of wildebeest that go across the Maasai Mara Plains in that great migration, the lions are always out there. And what are they looking for? They're looking for the lame. They're looking for those that are limping. You know what happens in this world? The lame don't take the prey. The lame are the prey. Beloved, if you're looking for your help in the world, beloved, you're going to be the prey. It will take you down. But I'm glad to tell you that in the church of the living God, the lame take the prey. Are you lame this morning? Do you feel yourself to be lame? I feel myself to be as lame as I've ever been. I feel like I'm just limping through this world. I feel like I'm stumbling everywhere I go. But beloved, one of the reasons that I come here and one of the reasons I'm glad I'm here this morning is because even though I'm lame, I take the prey. The world is not victorious over me here, beloved. I'm victorious over the world, not because of anything in me, but because of what I find to be in Christ. Because I find myself in Christ, and in Christ, I am always the victor. Beloved, we're actually more than conquerors in Him. You know what a more than conqueror is? You know, a conqueror is someone who goes out and fights the battle, and he comes in all bloodied and beat up, and he's struggling out there. But beloved, I read about one who comes from Edom with blood upon his garments, and that's not us. It's not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He fought the battle. He came back bloodied, but he was victorious. He was the conqueror, and we're more than conquerors. A more than conqueror did not have to fight the battle, but yet he gets the spoils of the victory. And that's what we have right here. Here in this little place that the world doesn't think a whole lot of. If they did, they'd be here, right? But right here in this place this morning, as lame as I feel, as much as I've limped this week, I am dividing a great spoil with you. You know what that great spoil is? It's the truth of God's word that tells us that he loved us with an everlasting love. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. You feel yourself to be sick? Come to Zion. Come to the city of our God. You'll get over that sickness pretty quick. Now you'll feel it. You're not going to be healed. I'm not talking about that. But you can come here and say, as weak and sickly as I feel to be, I'm well when I reside in the kingdom. And the inhabitant shall not say, I'm sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Now, I just want to say this about that.
First of all, it didn't say the ones that just stick a toe in every now and then. Beloved, the kingdom of God is a place we ought to dwell. We ought to live here. This is our home. You know, you remember what he said back over in Psalm 48, down at the end of that psalm? He said, walk about Zion, count the towers. He said, look at the bulwarks, see the palaces. You know what we have in the kingdom here? You know what we have in Zion Church? We have spiritual towers that lift us up above the fray of this world so we can see the enemy coming from far off. You know, we don't have to wait till he gets to the gates to say, uh-oh, the enemy's here. We can see him coming. It's a warning. It's a warning process that we have. And then we have bulwarks. That's walls. That's defensive structures that protect us from the world. And then we have palaces. You know, yeah, we're in a battle. But we're not just in a battle, beloved. We actually get to dine in the king's house. And it says here in this verse, it says, their iniquities, those that dwell therein, their iniquities shall be forgiven. And that doesn't mean you got to come to church to get your sins paid for by Christ. No. But in order to get the full sense of what you have in Christ, you need to be here in Zion, the city of our God. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Oh, what a great place it is. And I am so thankful this morning for the church of the living God that he has given us in this world. It's a little way station on our way to heaven. I appreciate your kind attention and your prayers this morning.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.